We have heard some very good news for our region about jobs just recently, talking about increases in opportunities. And one of those is in the trades. And joining us in studio is Jeff Nobers, Executive Director of the Builders Guild of Western Pennsylvania. Jeff and I have known each other a long time, and I appreciate the fact that you guys really do give opportunities. And these are life-changing jobs, sustaining jobs for families. So it's a great alternative for people, you know, who would rather do something physical and not end up with a giant bill at the end of their education. So welcome, Jeff.
Larry, it's great to be here. Good to see you again, too.
So you have this annual two-day event. Part one is tomorrow, as I understand it. You're working, speaking of the schools. And last year, you had almost 3,000 students attend.
Yeah, we have about the same number registered for this year from 80-plus school districts
80.
Coming in. So it's it's very much grown, not just in popularity, but geographically. You know, we have school districts coming that have never come before and from further away, because our trade unions here in southwestern PA cover, for the most part, the western half of the state. So, you know, we recruit people in Erie, Pennsylvania, as well as we recruit people here in the Pittsburgh area. So I think it's really getting through to people that these are highly viable career choices for young people to make, or, you know, people that are in the workforce and aren't feeling fulfilled with whatever they're doing. So, you know, the average age of an apprentice is about 26, not 18.
Is it really?
Yeah. So
that may surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, it's, it's people that, some have college degrees. You know, some started college and did not finish it for some of the reasons you mentioned. And, you know, then they were looking for that career where they could earn, you know, a very solid middle class living, be able to take care of their family, you know, go on vacations, buy a new car, all the things that we all want to do. And, they have found that opportunity and ability to do that in the construction trades.
And this is at the David Lawrence Convention Center. So easy to get to regionally. Everybody knows where that is. And then Saturday is more of an open opportunity for the public and get a chance to be familiar with the kinds of jobs we're talking about.
Yeah, we certainly encourage, as I mentioned, folks that are, they're already in the workforce, but maybe they're feeling unfulfilled or, you know, they've hit the ceiling where they're working. It's an opportunity to speak with all 16 of our trades. There are 16 different training centers, 33 different curriculums, if you will, for the skilled trade. So there's a lot of variety. There's a lot of different things people can do. So I certainly encourage people to investigate it. Construction's not going to be for everybody, just like any career path is not for everybody. But if you don't investigate it, then you're not sure if it is or it isn't.
And it's hosted by your organization, the Builders Guild of Western Pennsylvania, in cooperation with the CNX Foundation and Partner for Work. I just met their CEO, Rob, and their team last Friday. Great people. I mean, their whole mission is to help people connect to jobs and, you know, life-sustaining jobs.
Yeah, Rob is, I've worked with Rob since he's been here. He's an excellent leader. They do excellent work, really, in developing programs, certainly not just for the construction industry, for industries across the board. And when a new type of industry is coming into the city, you know, AI is going to be a big thing, obviously, here,
right,
as it is everywhere. They'll be on the forefront of working with companies to establish just what is the training, what is the skill set people are going to need to work in that industry.
So you're talking about career opportunities not only in union construction. You mentioned AI, energy, manufacturing, utility industries, and I want to get into some of those and give us some examples. By the way, these events are free of charge. The Builders Guild of Western Pennsylvania, and we're with Jeff Nobers, the executive director. More coming up on the details of what some of these jobs can mean and what they are next. Continue our conversation with Jeff Nobers, Executive Director of the Builders Guild of Western Pennsylvania. Their Build On Career event is tomorrow and Saturday at the David Lawrence Convention Center. So, who are the Builders Guild of Western Pennsylvania people, Jeff?
Well, the Builders Guild is a labor management organization. It consists of the construction trade unions in southwestern Pennsylvania, as well as contractor associations. So it represents the entire industry, both from the labor side, the skilled trade side, as well as the employer side, which are the contractors. And, you know, that's one thing to know, too. You know, we talk about the trades a lot and the need for apprentices. You know, there's also needs within the contractor community, too, whether it's a general contractor or a subcontractor. I don't know that people always realize that, you know, a large construction company, they employ accountants, they employ HR people, they employ marketing people. So, you know, it's not just opportunities on the skilled trade side. You know, there are opportunities throughout the industry, but obviously, you know, the more critical or perhaps the most critical factor right now are getting more people into the skilled trades because we have a lot of retirements going on. So, you know, you're losing people at the back end, and we're losing more than we're gaining right now. And some of that has to do with population and so forth as well.
One of the things you talk about is a lot of young people choose to go to college, which if you want to go to college and want to pursue whatever, but a lot of people do that without really knowing what they want to do and end up with these big student loan debts at the end of that process. This offers an opportunity where you don't have that issue.
Right. I mean, you can enter an apprenticeship, and if you find out a year and a half in that this is not really what you want to do, you know, you can withdraw from the apprenticeship. You know, maybe you've spent a little bit of money on some tools and work boots, but you're not going to be tens of thousands of dollars in debt. You know, you can, you know, leave that apprenticeship and be in good financial shape.
In one of the crafts, gives us an example of what that process is like with an apprenticeship.
Well, I think across the board, they're all very similar. But, you know, if you want to take, you know, for example, the steam fitters, you know, they recruit, you go in, you test. There is a test you take. It's a combination of math and, you know, just reading and ensuring that you're capable and have the skill set at that base level to be able to not do it that day, but to absorb the information you're going to have to absorb. If you score appropriately on the test, there's an interview, and that interview is with both members of the union and contractors because they are paying for your education. So, you know, they want to sign off on who's coming in. Once you go through that interview, if all agree, you're then offered a spot in that apprenticeship. And then the apprenticeships run anywhere from 3 to 5 years. It depends on the trade and the discipline you go into. But the key thing is you're paid through that entire time. As you had mentioned, Larry, there's no debt that you're incurring. Some minimal expenses, you know, we're talking hundreds of dollars, not tens of thousands of dollars. And you're working pretty much the whole time. So, I mean, if you took a 4-year apprenticeship, say in the carpenters, and you go through that 4 years, and the next person went to college for 4 years, you know, when they're both done in 4 years, it could be easily $500,000 difference financially for those two people. You know, the apprentice has earned an income for those 4 years. They've earned pension and annuity credits. They've earned health care through that whole time, and very good health care, whereas the college student has not been getting paid, certainly by the college. They're paying the college, and they're not earning retirement benefits or health care benefits. And I would say, too, when you look at a college degree, and this is certainly not anti-college. I mean, I went to college. I mean, many of the people in the industry went to college. But when you come out, you don't have a sellable skill, per se. you've maybe done one internship or maybe two if you're lucky. Whereas you come out of an apprenticeship, you've spent 8,000 to 10,000 hours learning that craft on the job, hands on, with you know, senior journey persons who help teach you. So it's a far different type of educational process.
Are you finding the jobs are there now? It seems like we've turned a corner here where we've had these major construction jobs like the cracker plant with Shell in Beaver County and other big jobs, the airport. Are we sustaining those kinds of jobs for the future?
Well, there's, you know, I would say today there's not necessarily that $2 billion project sitting there right now.
Well, that was the largest in the country at
right,
the time.
At the time, the cracker plant. But, you know, we have Presby Hospital going right now, which is a $1 billion plus project. The airport is as well. And, you know, I think we had touched on AI before. You know, AI is just, it's at the point where it's just going to explode. And not that I'm certainly not an expert in it, but, you know, they call them AI factories, these data centers. And, you know, the building in and of itself is nothing special. It's a big warehouse and, you know, you're rolling racks of computers. And of course you have to have all the appropriate environmental issues in there with heating and cooling and water. The real side to that is the energy needs of these AI factories.
I heard that they have, in fact, Mainspring has brought this generator that's able to utilize different fuel, including hydrogen and our natural gas, because you need a lot of power. I think they're starting up Three Mile Island.
They are.
Because Philadelphia and that region is going to need.
Well, Three Mile Island is solely to power data centers. It's, I believe it's Microsoft that, you know, went into the deal with Constellation Energy. So, I mean, you're restarting a nuclear power plant just to power these data centers.
Well, that gives you some idea. So this is two-day event, again, tomorrow for students, teachers, administrators, counselors from 80 different regional schools, and then Saturday open to the public 9 to 12:30 at the David Lawrence Convention Center. It's free. It's an opportunity maybe to get a life-changing career. And Jeff, appreciate you coming in. This is good stuff.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to have us in, Larry. It's we think it's important, and it's an opportunity people really need to explore.
The Builders Guild of Western Pennsylvania, Jeff Dobers is the executive director. How do they get a hold of you or to get more information about this and other regional opportunities?
They can go to the website buildingtradespgh.com. All the info's there.
buildingtradespgh.com. Jeff, thank you. And most importantly, thank you for the donuts. That's
you're very well. I noticed that somebody's already had three. You know, it was a two limit.
Whose name will remain nameless at this point. Appreciate it, Jeff. Happy Halloween. That's a great costume, you have.
Yeah, thanks. Yours too.
And I can see the good doctor via our video at kdkradio.com. You can see him on the radio, too. The good doctor, Mike Hutchinson, Animal General, LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry. And I see behind you, Doc, you have your fireplace set up for Halloween.
Yeah, and the engaged sign. Our youngest son got engaged last week.
Oh, it says engaged. I thought it was some horror thing. Well, and congratulations in that case.
And another grandchild yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah, little girl.
What's going up on the mountains there in the woods?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. What's the name?
Thank you. Hazel.
Hazel.
Hazel. I already forgot the middle name. I have to study that one.
You better get on that right away, Doc.
And I'm going to meet her today, I hope.
All right. Well, it's a big day for the Hutchinsons. All right, Doc, we have a question from Melissa in Mount Lebanon. How can I remove plaque from my dog's teeth without causing him problems? Is there a tool for scraping them? I think he would let me. I don't want to have him anesthetized for that unless there are no other options. So what do you got?
Yeah, you know, I certainly understand that. And there are tools for scraping, but I don't recommend it because unless you're experienced at that, you end up scraping the enamel too much. and that is not good. That'll cause future problems. So I recommend that you use a dental toothbrush, an extra soft toothbrush, and something like canine enzymatic toothpaste that contains two enzymes that help to kill the bacteria that causes the plaque and tartar. And then that manual, even a finger brush, that manual action can help remove that tartar. And just work on it. It will work if you do it over time. They also have things that they put in those enzymatic toothpaste, like chlorhexidine, which helps with the bacteria as well. So I recommend that, and maybe some dental chews like Greenies or what's that other one? Oravets is a good one. But I don't recommend manually scraping them unless you're expert at it, because you're going to end up doing more harm than good.
Dr. Mike, Isabel in Greenberg says her cat is losing its balance occasionally. Wants to know what the reason could be behind that. She's about 7 years old.
You know, it could be a number of reasons for that. One of the common ones, if it's occasional, is that they can grow polyps inside their ear canal. So I always check their inner ear to look to see if they have any problems like that. And that can cause, it can put them off, and you can only imagine what that would feel like. But there's other things. I mean, of course, infections, head trauma, spinal injuries, things that I might not know about. And if it's going on toxin exposures, if they're getting into plants they shouldn't get into, or some things in the garage, antifreeze, things like that, that's deadly. But you want to look for different problems like that. Even metabolic disorders can cause them to lose balance. So I would see your veterinarian over that one, and they could do a workup and try to rule out those problems. The one in the ear is a real common one, and a young cat.
Justin in Shadyside wants to know, Dr. Mike, what kind of diet is best for a dog with sensitive digestion? I've tried several supermarket diets, not working a lot, still vomits. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, they make special diets that you can try that are prescription diets, or we call them gastrointestinal diets. They're like 40% digested. They're highly digestible diets, so it makes it real easy on their stomach. And they're real healthy, too. They have all the nutrients that they require. Sometimes that doesn't work. They need a limited ingredient diet. Your dog might be sensitive to some of the proteins that I don't know about. And these limited ingredient diets are like one protein and one carbohydrate, but they're balanced. And if that continues, your vet's going to look for causes of that vomiting. Sometimes their body, their immune system will cause inflammation in the stomach and intestinal lining. We call it inflammatory bowel disease. And those dogs will vomit regardless of the diet that you pick. And we have to do some other things. Sometimes you require medication. But we can test for food sensitivities, too, with their saliva and see what foodstuffs they might be sensitive to. And that could help. Homemade diets only if necessary. They have to be balanced if you do it. I like homemade diets, but they certainly have to be balanced.
Well, I know, speaking of diets, once in a while you have pumpkin pulp as a remedy for some things. And while we're talking about Halloween, this is a good time to remind people the dangers of the artificial sweeteners and chocolates, in particular for dogs around trick-or-treat.
Yeah, and artificial sweeteners and candies, too. The dogs like to get into everything. They smell it, and then they want to taste it. And xylitol is what we're talking about, is artificial sweetener. People know that chocolate's toxic. I do love canned pumpkin for dogs as a fiber source, but we don't want them to get into moldy pumpkin. So we have to be careful with the pumpkins that are out there, because they will get moldy, especially with the heat that we've been having. And then, of course, everybody knows, watch out for fires. I like the little LED lights and pumpkins now, as opposed to the candles, because that could cause a problem. Dogs don't understand sometimes, and they could tip them over. Cats, too. And then, of course, the stress of all the people coming to your door, you want to put them in a safe room, because dogs escape during this time when you don't expect it. They get kind of anxious. Most dogs get anxious when that doorbell keeps going off. So, be aware of that. And then, of course, if you have decorations around, cobwebs, things like that, be careful with those, too, because dogs are curious. Glow sticks, they like to chew them. Those glow sticks are not highly toxic, but they will make them drool, and some dogs will start vomiting. So you want to keep glow sticks away from them, too.
All right, Doc. Congratulations again, a new granddaughter and an engagement. Boy, what a week you're having.
Yes, great time. Thank you. Good seeing you guys.
You too. The great Dr. Mike Hutchinson of Animal General. LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry. You can go to kdkradio.com, and we have a link to animalgeneral.net. Fast. Don't get nervous, Ellen. I'll get back to you.
Funny how those things work out, right?
Yeah, I meant to play was this.
It makes sense to start out with Start Me Up.
Start Me Up! They're still on tour. Hard to believe. The Rolling Stones. Periodically, I see these videos of Mick Jagger, now in his early 80s, prancing around the stage. And, you know, who just turned 80? Keith Richards, right? And then when Richard Simmons passed, someone posted, I'm going to rethink this whole thing about
right
health and exercise. Because these guys are still out there doing their thing. It's pretty remarkable. Coming up, I'm looking forward to our conversation with Bill Hillgrove. Pitt is 7-0, headed to Dallas, Texas. The newcomer to the ACC, one of, is SMU, Southern Methodist University.
And they're a ranked team, right?
They're 7-1, and they're ranked 20th. Pitt's ranked 18th. So, statistical virtual tie. This will be a great challenge. But yesterday, the Pat Narduzzi Show, weekly at 6, at the Indigo Hotel, by the way, which is down there on Technology Drive, right near the Hot Metal Bridge at the base of Bates Street, found out that the redshirt freshman from Alabama, quarterback Eli Holstein, is cleared to play.
Good.
Which is huge.
Absolutely huge.
So it was a week ago, Thursday, 2 weeks ago, I guess, already, which is hard to believe. They played Syracuse at Acrisure and ended up with this unbelievable first half on defense. 3 interceptions, run back for touchdowns. The defense scored 21 points in the first half.
Yes, they excelled in every way. I said to a friend, it's going to come down to the defense. And a couple of days before the game, I didn't realize how right that was going to be.
Well, up until that point, Syracuse quarterback was the second statistically in passing in the country.
Yeah.
And they made Mr. Kyle McCord look very pedestrian.
Oh, that's putting it mildly.
5 total picks for the defense.
Speaking, just to be nice to everybody, speaking of really good defense, the Nittany Lions have a very good defense, and they are playing a big game coming up this weekend.
Ohio State.
Look out.
At Beaver Stadium. They'll be packed to the rafters, and as they always are. I think they're doing a whiteout, and they're also undefeated. Ohio State comes in with one blemish. They lost a squeaker out in Oregon, but they're battling it out for the Big Ten. That's a huge game, too.
Yep, it certainly is.
That's a noon kickoff, I believe.
Yes, I saw that, and I was a little surprised that they didn't move it back.
Pitt's kickoff is 8 o'clock here in Eastern time. So you got Penn State, Ohio State, then you got Pitt, SMU. So if you're a local sports fan, Saturday will be bookended by some great games.
Number 18 versus number 20. SMU's doing well.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a challenge.
So you're heading for Dallas then.
I am. We're going to talk to Bill Hillgrove coming up right after the news at the top of the hour.